Now, I've been teaching for the last several months on planning and you know, how to succeed in planning, different things. But I'm going to talk about this morning about the greatest plan ever made. And it's called the plan of redemption. The plan of redemption. So let's talk about it a little bit. The plan of redemption is the only plan, said the only plan, that God designed, that God the Father designed to redeem mankind. So everything we see, hear, touch, feel has got to do with the plan of redemption. Now turn your Bibles to Romans 5, look at verse 12. Now, this is the scenario that's talking about what happened back in Genesis. Romans 5, 12. We know that Adam decided one day that he was going to lose his mind. And he decided to do what God had told him not to do. And as a result, everybody was impacted and affected by one man's decision. Just like in your home, when you decide to make a financial mistake, everybody in your house is impacted by that one decision. Even though it was just you that made it, everybody has to deal with what you decide to do. Look at Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. So it says, for that reason, everybody sinned. Why? Because Adam was the what? Representative man of all mankind. He represented all mankind. Those who were going to come after him forever and forever, Adam was the representation. Now look at the same, go down, look at verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. So you did not do what Adam did, although you were in Adam when he did it. This is why the greatest plan had to be put into place, the plan of redemption, because God realized we did not do the sin that Adam did. And it was not right to condemn us without any hope of ever being right again. You ought to be happy. Look at verse 15. Well, let's finish 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure or the representation of him that was to come. So he represented us. He represented all man that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. See, he's saying this multiple ways. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Look at verse 17. So, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, death came because of Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And then verse 18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. This is why we have to get born again, because Adam's transgression made all of us sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. So everything we see written in the Bible is because of God's plan to redeem us. It's the most powerful plan that's ever been created. No plan exceeds the plan of redemption. And it took God, you know, can you imagine what God had to deal with while waiting for Jesus to come into the earth? When we look at our society today, this is a glimpse of what God had to deal with before Jesus came. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21 and 22. So everything we see in the Bible is because of God's plan to redeem us. God had a plan, and he put it into effect, and it took place. And for every man that will receive Jesus Christ, you can be made righteous. Hallelujah. Now it's all up to you to receive that. See? Hallelujah. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Ooh, Jesus. For as in Adam all died. See that? Everybody died in Adam. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But it's a choice now. It's no longer, it's not automatic. Life has been presented. Now you have to choose it. The Passion Translation says it this way. For since death came through a man, Adam, it is fitting that the resurrection of the dead has also come through a man, Christ Jesus. Even as all who are in Adam die, so also all who are in Christ will be made alive. Glory to God. Now Jesus humbled himself to the plan of the Father. You know, it's kind of like you married, y'all got a plan, and you start discussing it at home. And then you say, well, I gotta go away for a month and I'll be back. Or, you know, you're going somewhere and you can't take your partner with you. This is kind of where Jesus got to submit to. He said, the Bible declares that he humbled. Look at Philippians 2. It says he humbled. That means he came into agreement. He brought himself into agreement. He humbled himself to the plan of the Father. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 5. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now it tells us his purpose was to come in agreement with the plan. He didn't come here. Once he got into earth, he didn't rewrite the plan and say, you know what, I think I'm going to put an addendum up there and I'm going to do, because he would have been just like the first Adam. That would have been no more hope for us had Jesus messed up like the first Adam. You know, you'd have been toast by now, right? Because the devil would have made sure you'd have never made it in the earth. It says, because of him, his ability to humble himself and became obedient to death. Look at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee. Every knee, your knee, my knee, the demon knee, because demons are spirits, but they got knees. Every knee. Every entity is going to bow. Ooh, Jesus. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Of God the Father. See, God gave him a promise. I'm not going to leave you there, son. And Jesus said, okay. Because Jesus knew that in order to redeem us, this meant being separated from the Father. Now, the thought of being separated from the Father weighed on Jesus like a heavy stone being placed on your chest. The weight of being separated. See, the sweating that he was doing in the garden was not because he was just didn't want to go. It was the thought of being separated from the Father. That was the most excruciating time in his life. He had already submitted to death, to the plan. He knew that when he came, death was part of the plan. But it was knowing that I was going to be separated from the Father. Oh, Jesus. Jesus began to agonize, according to Matthew 26, 37 through 39. He began to agonize over the thought of being without the Father. So much to the place, he began to sweat like blood. It just began to pour out of him. That's a humbling experience. You need to remember that. Jesus was not laying down there saying, okay, I'm going to be without the Father. He was not flippant about it. This was going to cost him everything, even his relationship with the Father. See, he had to go from life to death, something he had never done. You missed it. He had to go from life to death. Not from death to life. He had to go from life to death. He had only experienced life and the God kind of life. And you read that and you see where he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed because, you know, he asked the disciples, you know how you ask people to believe with you and then they go home and go to sleep. They ain't praying. So, you know. Jesus said, watch with me. Tarry ye here and watch with me. That worked out real good. Because when he went to pray, they went to sleep. And look what Jesus said in verse 39 of Matthew 26. I'm going to read it for you. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So he was not challenging the plan. He's talking about having to be separated spiritually. See, death is not just you laying down your body, but when you die spiritually, you are eternally separated from God Almighty. And he was agonizing over that. Now turn your Bibles to Luke 23. Now Jesus is on the cross. By now Jesus is on the cross. Luke 23, verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, right up on the cross, Jesus is living a life of forgiveness. And you can't forgive somebody that just said something about you yesterday. He on the cross getting ready to die for your sins. Stripped naked. Everything showing. And he said, Father, forgive him. Ooh, watch this. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, or saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. So that's what people say about you. You all that, why don't God deliver you? This is why you got to learn how to stop depending on sinners. Because they're going to throw it back in your face. It's better to trust the word. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a subscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. They want everybody to know it. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. They're just like the average person. But the other answering rebuked the other malefactor, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He said, you know you were a thief. And you know stealing can cause you death. He said, now why are you messing with him? But this man have done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now the hour is drawing nigh. And it was about the sixth hour. And then there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was dark. What was happening? The light of the world was dying. He was submitting to death. Everything around him had to turn because there was no light left. Jesus was giving up. He was surrendering to sin. He became sin. He was surrendering to death. And the Bible said the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He released because he had to die. Listen, y'all, he had to embrace death. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. If Jesus didn't accept spiritual death, he could not die physically. He would have never died physically had he not accepted the spiritual death. Because death wasn't in him. Death wasn't. This is why you can't be alarmed when the doctor give you a bad report or something. You can't be alarmed because if death is not in you, it's not in you, the born again spirit. Death didn't come in that package. He had to surrender his righteous nature in order to die. Because that's what Adam did. Adam gave up the righteous nature which created death in all mankind. And the price for sin had to be satisfied so that all of us could be free. And Jesus became the sacrifice. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So it was already written that this was going to happen. It was already announced. This is called the plan of redemption, y'all. Jesus had to surrender spiritually to spiritual death in order to redeem us. It was not a physical death that we needed to be part of. It was our spiritual death. And that he was buried and that he arose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. So the Bible, so Jesus, and it says, and then John 3, turn that real quick, then I'm getting ready to close in just a minute. John 3, 14 through 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whoa. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, not about him, believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now you have the same opportunity because life is being presented. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be delivered. Woo, Jesus. And he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why are you condemned already? Because you're still living in a death cycle. Because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. See, when people holler, you see, that you, what we're seeing today is because people hate light. And they're radically opposing truth. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now here's the good part. Ah, Jesus. Look at Romans 8, verses 1 through 17. You just might as well get ready to be happy. There is therefore now, say now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, it was impossible to be done through the law, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Oh, Jesus, ha! That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Will you be worldly minded? He says you're on the road to death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, is always at war against God. It's never going to be satisfied because it's always at war with God. That's why you got to renew your mind. Your old mind is always at war with God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. So you got to reckon your body to be dead unto sin because it's no longer alive in the kingdom of God. It has now been transformed into a new kingdom. And it's designed to do works of righteousness. So when you fall, you're supposed to do something about it. You're not supposed to lie down when you fall, amen? You're not supposed to stay there. Why? Because your body is dead to sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, did Jesus rise from the dead? Of course he did. And if that same Spirit dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. So your body is being transformed every day by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, you don't owe the flesh nothing. You don't owe the old you nothing. As my mother-in-law said, nothing. I don't owe you nothing. Look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So in closing, Jesus had to trust, the plan of the Father God all the way, even unto death. And we must do the same. In order for each of us to experience the resurrected life that Jesus died to give us, we too must accept the plan of God. We must be willing to die to the old us. Because now we're going to do this thing. Jesus went from life to death, and then he was resurrected unto new life. Now we got to go from death to life, which means we got to let go of the old. We got to die to that. Help us, Lord. We must be willing to die to the old us and all of the attachments that came along with it, which has the penalty of death still on it. See, the penalty of death didn't get done away with. It's still active for all those who would embrace death. Jesus didn't make the penalty of death disappear. He brought life back so you can choose. Because there's a parallel system running all the time. They're going in opposite direction. One is life and one is death. Two kingdoms operating in this arena at the same time. And you got to choose which one you want to live in. He says, you got to die to the old and all its attachments, which still has a penalty of death on it. Then we must embrace this new life wholeheartedly. Why? Because Jesus had a penalty and a promise. The penalty was the charges of all our past, present, and future sins was being placed against him as though he had committed the crimes that we committed. How you like that? Make no mistake. It was our sin debt. Man had committed the sin. Ooh, Jesus. We should have been the one on the cross. However, according to the plan, since one man who had been the representative for all others got us into this mess, then another man being the representative or the substitute for all of us could pay the debt through his death, thus redeeming man. This plan of redemption meant that what had been taken because the debt was satisfied had to be restored. You ought to be shouting right now. Woo. According to Galatians 3, 13 and 14, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made the curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Did Christ hang on the tree? Absolutely. Oh, so the curse was put on him so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Galatians 4, verse 5 says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We get to call him Father again. Wherefore, you ain't no more a servant. You are a son. And if you've been declared a son, then you are an heir through Christ Jesus. Now, in this plan of redemption was yours and my victory. Total victory. Say total victory. So he gave us victory over death, victory over sin, victory over sickness, victory over poverty. Everything, say everything, had to be restored. You don't satisfy a debt and then they still come take the stuff. Once the debt is satisfied, all the stuff still belongs to you. Hey, glory. Glory, glory, glory. I'm happy. I don't know about you. Cause that turned me on to know that all the debt had been satisfied. And because the debt had been satisfied, everything that the devil stole, it had to be restored. Now it's all back in my hands. And it's up to me to decide if I want to be prosperous, if I want to be rich. It's up to me to decide if I want to be sick or well. It is now up to me whether I'm going to flourish in victory. It's no longer up to Jesus. He's already done it. He ain't going on the cross no more for you. You must embrace what he's already done. And then let the plan of redemption play out in your life. Come on, stand to your feet. Let's get ready to do communion.